Yo, so welcome to Security Talks podcast. We'll come up in a minute. Brought to you by Pheasant, the most diverse and effective cybersecurity training platform in the world.
Yeah, we said welcome
Yeah,
to our
I'm
first episode.
Ali,
Hafiz.
co-founder, CEO. That's Hafiz, the CTO. We'll call him Shaggy.
Not
What?
officially, but whatever.
Yeah, officially, I'm sure I've called you Shaggy officially at least once in like a
Don't
meeting
really,
with
but
external
I
people.
mean, maybe once in a while, I guess.
Yeah, just make it official. Like when introducing yourself to investor, when we're introducing
Oh,
ourselves
yes,
to
I
investors and
can't tell an
stuff.
investor, oh, hello, my name is
Yeah.
Shaggy. It doesn't make sense at all, man. They'll be like, oh, you mean Scooby-Doo? Or they'll make reference to the musician. Nah.
Yeah. What does Shaggy say? What do you say when they accuse you of hacking the Wi-Fi?
I mean, I'm just a tech guy. Doesn't mean
It
I need to
wasn't
act.
me.
It wasn't me. I can't make such a mistake. No,
Think about
shit.
it. Think about
I can't.
it.
Oh my days. Nah. Nice.
So you won't believe what I just read on
Yeah.
the front page of Threat Post, the literally the first article that shows here. Tentacles of Octopus Threat Group victimize 130 firms. So there's actually a hacking group or a cybercrime ring called Octopus, OKTAPUS.
Wait. Do you know in the Spider-Man game, there's
Dr.
this
Octopus. Dr. Octopus.
I was actually going to make reference to it. But there's this
Yeah.
Octavio in the Spider-Man game that
Oh.
was also like a scientist, that was an hacker as well and stuff. But let's move
Yeah.
on. Maybe that's where they got the inspiration from.
Who knows? So they said, over 130 companies. Yo, the puns in these articles are just. So first of all, the title is like Tentacles of Octopus Threat Group victimized
Yeah.
130 firms. And then
Oh, wait, that's what
the
he said.
yeah,
No way.
yes. And then like this is how the article reads, like
Really put tentacles. Wow.
Over
Respect to the publisher, man.
130 companies tangled
Tangled.
in sprawling phishing campaign that spoofed an MFA authentication system. You see, so this is the problem, right? When the criminals start going after security measures themselves, like
Yeah.
if you can't trust your MFA to work properly, it's like, okay, what do you do? I mean, we use MFA to safeguard against, password attacks or credentials getting leaked or things like that.
So and that thing
But if you're able
I
to
was going
get
to
to the
I was going, I
MFA
was another thing I
system
was going to say,
itself,
right, is
yeah.
that so like our audience is also going to be people that are also like trying to like get to know like a little bit more about
Yeah.
cybersecurity, right? So like when we mention sometimes, we should try and like break it down for the audience, right? For everybody to
Yeah,
also
of
like
course, of course, of
for like
course.
the normal people,
Yeah.
right? To be able to by the way, Ali is a cybersecurity genius, right? At this point. And me,
Hey, oh, hold on.
I'm
Hold
just a
on.
noob. I'm just a noob. I don't really know so much. Although
Don't
like
call me a cybersecurity genius. I mean,
a
like,
genius. I'm a noob, right?
if
So
I
like
get caught calling myself that,
it's a
I'm going
perfect
to be
balance, really.
roasted on
It's a perfect
LinkedIn.
balance. It's a perfect balance. I relate more to people that are not, I guess they're not
Yo,
so
what are you even talking
vast.
about? Like, you did a course on secure
I mean,
coding.
of course,
You
I know more
know
than
like
an average
stuff.
person. I know more than
Yeah.
an average person, right? But it's just like I still can relate more to people
This is
that are
what,
not like
7 years
knowledgeable about
of
it.
software engineering experience.
Bro, come on. All right,
Okay.
we're
Yeah.
derailing. Let's get back to the topic.
Yeah, back to tentacles. So there were attacks on Twilio and Cloudflare employees. Targeted attacks,
Oh
and
yeah, the Twilio attack. Yeah,
yeah, we got a notification for that, didn't
we're
we?
going to for that. Yeah.
I won't say why because I'll be revealing too much. And yeah, so the campaigns are tied to focused abuse of identity and access management firm Okta, which gained the threat actors. Oh, okay, that so it was an attack on Okta. Okta is a firm that deals with, identity and access management, and
Yep.
that's why they named the hacking group Octopus.
Right.
So yeah, the primary goal of the threat actors was to obtain Okta identity credentials and multi-factor authentication MFA codes from users of the targeted organizations. So these people were targeting Twilio and Cloudflare employees, and they went through, so it's kind of a supply chain attack. So they went through Okta because they know that Okta provides MFA or identity and access management for these companies. Mm-hmm. So they went through Okta, breached Okta.
You mean the actors went through Okta?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And you know Okta provide like services for specifically, and, yeah,
more authentication services.
Authentication, you know, for them.
Identity and access management, multi-factor authentication, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they targeted that company to get Twilio and Cloudflare. And so this is how it happened. The specific users they were targeted received text messages containing links to phishing sites that mimicked the Okta authentication page of the organization.
Mm. Okay.
So you get a text message, you open it, it looks exactly like what you interact with probably on a daily basis. And, you know, you go ahead and put in your credentials.
No suspicions at all.
Just a normal day at the job.
Yeah.
The next day, your security operations center is ringing alarm bells. Oh, we've been breached.
Yeah.
And according to this, what the Octopus hackers actually wanted was they actually started by targeting telecommunication companies to be able to gain access to their target's phone numbers. Because again, if you get the phone numbers, you can, it's possible they might be using SMS for multi-factor authentication. So if you get access to those phone numbers, you've owned MFA, basically.
Yeah.
Wait.
Do you mean access to the data, like the data from the phone number, or just like access to the phone number itself?
Oh no, right, not just access to the phone numbers. If you know knowing the phone number, you don't need to hack the entire like telecommunication company to get access to the phone number itself.
To get access to the phone number, yeah.
Yeah, but to get access to like text messages and things like that, you know, just go straight to the telecommunication provider.
Yeah.
And then there's like uncertainty regarding like how exactly they obtained the list of phone numbers used in the MFA attacks. Well, one of the theories that a researcher posed is Octopus researchers started their campaigns targeting telecommunication companies. And according to the compromised data analyzed by Group IB, the threat actors started their attacks by targeting mobile operators and telecoms companies and could have collected the numbers from those initial attacks, just like we said, got the phone numbers from there. And then they sent, okay, so they didn't actually get access to the data in the phone like SMS.
Exactly. But
they only got the phone number.
I mean, how many telecommunication companies did they have to ask, right, to get access to like data from those numbers?
The exact, like,
that would be a much bigger arc, right?
Exactly. So all you just did, get the phone numbers, send targeted phishing.
Exactly, just like send like the phishing emails.
But which is what eventually happened.
Did they match like the phone numbers with like, you know, specific people that like are vulnerable to the attacks, like or people that use Okta, for example?
Yeah.
Or like just like just send out those phishing messages.
No, according to this, it's a targeted attack. So they knew who they were going after within this company.
They knew who they were attacking. Right.
So hacking the telecoms company was just okay, let's search the database
to get their phone numbers.
To get their phone number.
Yeah.
And then send targeted phishing attacks to these phone numbers as text messages. And then those were now then linked to web pages that looked like the Okta authentication page. Victims were now asked to submit their identity credentials, their Okta identity credentials.
Oh my days.
In addition to the one time password or the MFA authentication codes. Basically you've owned the accounts. And then they said the initial compromises of you know mostly software as a service firms were a phase one in a multi-pronged attack. The ultimate goal was to access company mailing lists or customer-facing systems in the hopes of facilitating supply chain attacks. So you see, supply chain attack, I mean, get access to Cloudflare and Twilio. Lots of companies use Cloudflare and Twilio.
Obviously.
If you add it to Twilio, you can get access to, like, you know, thousands of customer data.
I mean, you can have, like, targeted, millions, like, customers, probably. Right? Exactly. You can have, like, targeted customers. Like, that name, exactly. Maybe Facebook uses... This is just an example. If Facebook uses Twilio, for example, right? They would literally just target Facebook specifically, right? As one of the customers they're trying to get data from. So, yeah, that's huge.
So it's even possible that, you know, Twilio and Cloudflare were not the initial, were not the actual targets. You're just like, okay, how do we get to... Let's say this is in Facebook is using Twilio. How do we get to Facebook? Okay, we can get to Twilio and Cloudflare.
Uh-huh.
How do we get to Twilio? What service does Twilio and Cloudflare use? Okay, we have to get to Okta. How do we get to Okta?
Get to the telecommunication company.
We have to get to the telecommunication company.
So companies always like feel like a lot of companies feel they are not vulnerable to like all these attacks, right? Because they have like strong, you know, security. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the problem is that every single tech company has like third party solutions that they use, right?
Yep.
There's no way you can't build everything in house.
There's third party. Let me tell you why I think this is like very dangerous. Supply chain attacks are very dangerous because one, you have, like you said, you have dependencies, third party integration.
Exactly.
You have other companies that you interact with.
Exactly. I didn't even think about that, right? Apart from like you depending on someone, there are other people that depend on you.
Yeah.
Right. That can also like bring in the attacks as well.
Yeah. And then there is like the software you build yourself depends on other software. Like there's open source dependencies. Just start a node project and see like all the dependencies that it pulls.
How much dependencies goes into it, right?
Yeah.
Like just a small like project and pulls out. I mean, there was an attack around. There was a vulnerability around like a lot of node projects, right? There was one particular package that every single node project had, right? That had this vulnerability at one point, right? And I mean, that just meant that every single company that used node in some way
would probably be vulnerable.
Is vulnerable to the attack.
Yeah.
Right. It's just exactly like that Java. What's it called? Log4j.
Yeah.
You know, like this, so that's existed for years, right?
Companies
will not just like say you won't use Java because of that, you know.
Yeah. There are lots of different ways that, you know, you can do supply chain attacks, and that's one of the biggest threats in the cybersecurity world. That's businesses need to
did the article say anything about like the Twilio and Cloudflare, their response to this?
But there's something about there's nothing about Twilio's response here, but there's something about blast radius of MFA attacks. Said in a blog post, DoorDash revealed. Unauthorized party used the stolen credentials of vendor employees to gain access to some of our internal tools. You see, again, it's not like your own employees, like vendor employees. And then the attackers, according to the post, went on to steal personal information, including names, phone numbers, email, delivery addresses from customers and delivery people. And in the course of that campaign, the attacker compromised, guess how many MFA codes they were able to compromise?
I'm sure it's in thousands.
Yeah, 5,441 MFA codes. And, you know, security measures, I'm still quoting the article here, security measures like MFA can appear secure, but it's clear that attackers can overcome them with relatively simple tools.
I think like the idea of having two-factor, right, and having all these multi-factor like authentications, is a level of security, but at the same time, more and more like people are getting like, you know, ways to like attack or to get access to all these
things. That's why it's like always evolving.
To bypass them, brother.
There's no like.
I mean, but what's your own thoughts on like other type of like, I don't know, multi-factor authentication, right? That's not specific to SMS, right? Like if I have like an AdWord token or you know something like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless like you want to do some human factored like attack, right? Like you know,
exactly.
Some social
engineering.
Yeah, unless you want to do that.
That's funny you should mention that.
Get access to that one.
That's funny you should mention that because yes, that I was about to say something about, you know, human factor, social engineering, and yes. You can't rely on any particular control. MFA is not the end all be all of like managing access. There's lots of different layers of defense that you need to put in. You know, there's things like zero trust. I'm not even going to get into that right now. But there's lots of different things. I'm not going to get into that right now, not because I don't want to, but because I feel like I'm not qualified enough to talk extensively about it.
Right.
But yeah, like there was this thing that happened, right? With MFA codes on Microsoft accounts. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft has this authenticator app where it's like, okay, when you're logging into, you can use it for like enterprise where you enforce MFA. When you're logging into your account, it will send you a notification to your phone and you can just approve it, right? Yeah. And then you can attach biometrics as well as you're approving it, you know, biometrics to make sure that it's actually the user that is authorizing it. But what these attackers did, they didn't actually like circumvent that technically, right? What they did was, you know, employees got an email from the IT team, supposedly, that saying...
It's always the phishing, man. It's always, always... Like,
this is not even phishing. This is another level. This is another level. This isn't even phishing. Like,
bro, continue.
So they sent emails to employees saying, you know, we're doing an upgrade. We're doing like some maintenance on our systems, and you might get, you know, blasted with multiple MFA approvals, and this is fine. Sorry for the inconvenience, but all you need to do, just approve the first one and everything else will disappear and everything will go back to normal. Months later.
Wait, that was like the attackers sending that email.
Sending that email. So the users don't even have to take any action on the email. You don't even know that anything has happened if you're not closely monitoring the emails, right?
Right.
And then months later, of course, users get blasted with like, you know, at one point in time, you might get blasted with like 10 MFA attempts. And this was like, oh, yeah, I remember IT team.
You mentioned this,
Just approve the first one.
Right.
And you're good to go. That's why I feel like just that isn't really enough. That's why I think you should see a code on your end that has to match the code on the login attempts after you type your password.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can easily be manipulated into tapping approve even when you're not the one actually trying to log in. Right? There has to be like some kind of educative UI that tells users under no circumstances, no matter what, should you tap on approve unless you're the one trying to log in.
I think I like the idea of having that verification code on both ends.
Right? On both ends, yeah.
That is what you need to verify.
Because like, again, you might be trying to log in. Someone else is trying to log in at the same time. You just tap approve, right? Because you're like, oh, or maybe you logged in and like 5 minutes later you get another one. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this was me.
Why not?
Approve.
Yeah.
But if you see the code and it doesn't match what you are seeing on your end, at least that's some kind of like, you know, that forces you to stop and think about it instead of just tapping.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, when I read that, I was like, wow, these guys are like...
That's another level.
Yeah.
Damn. So yeah.
Anyway, I think that's the end of today's...
Yeah, I mean, so, I think we have a lot more like dark stories and a lot of like more educated...
Lots of interesting like, things going on.
Yeah, so many interesting things.
Yeah.
I think it will be a very educative podcast for people. not just like cybersecurity engineers, but also like just the average people that are, you know, that
just work interested, in just that make use of the internet. Cybersecurity, yeah. And like people trying to get into cybersecurity, it's always good to you know, hear people talk about it.
Exactly,
it kind of feels like you're part of. Hearing conversations, you know, it just gets you in that mindset of like, you know, thinking about security. So
yeah, cool.
Anyway,
so
it was nice. Yeah. By the way.